This is Glenn Hauser with World of Radio, 2001. World of Radio is a listener-supported public service program about communications around the world, primarily shortwave. On this edition recorded September 27th, Antarctica, Armenia, Brazil, Canada, Cuba, Hawaii, India, Indonesia, Ireland, Japan, Mexico, Myanmar, Norway, Oklahoma, Russia, Sikkim, Spain, Sweden, Thailand, Turkey, USA, Vanuatu, and the Propagation Outlook. Standard disclaimer, the special broadcast I mentioned last week from LRA 36 Antarctica for Saturday, September 21st, did in fact occur just below 15476 kilohertz. The times were officially from 1300 until 1415. Not always the case, but on this occasion I was able to pick up a barely audible carrier on their exact offset frequency by 1357, but soon brought up a remote receiver in Brazil, as most listeners did, or maybe Iceland or somewhere else, and that was just in time to hear a greeting in the voice of Jeff White. That was at 1408, but music started a couple of minutes later for the rest of the half hour. Meanwhile, Manuel Mendez in Spain had received word from the station that they would be repeating the special later that day. And here is what he reports about it. It was called Compartiendo Esperanza, meaning sharing the base. It was celebrating the arrival of spring, which really was not until 2 days later. Reading listener mail and letters and songs, he says he had extremely weak reception direct into Spain, but a fair signal via remote receivers in Brazil and Iceland. Oh, that was during the repeat, which started at 19 UT, as it turned out. Dan Robinson has also been monitoring this a lot, and he was getting a beautiful signal via the Iceland SDR at 20.06 UT on September 21st. The station has continued active more hours than before. In fact, on September 26th, Manuel Mendez found them on the air much earlier than before at 1000 UT, heard until 1045 with some songs in English. Filed under Armenia, transmitter site Alan Gale in England says, there's to be a Spectres of Shortwave broadcast. That's the Requiem for Radio film by Amanda Dawn Christie about the demise of Radio Canada International and the Sackville transmitter site. It's been scheduled, according to the Facebook page of Requiem for Radio, to start at 7 p.m. Winnipeg time on Friday, September 27th, to be broadcast simultaneously via Armenia 7475 toward Africa, starting at midnight UT sharp, which must mean UT Saturday, September 28th. If you're in Winnipeg, the screening is part of the Send and Receive Festival of Sound at the Cinematheque, and Amanda Dawn Christie will be there in person for Q&A afterwards. Of course, all this has already happened, unless you're hearing some of our very first broadcasts on Friday. Manuel Mendez in Spain reports that the time signal station Observatorio Nacional in Rio de Janeiro, Brazil, is active again after months off the air. He heard their time signals on 10,000 kilohertz September 25th at 19:36. They announce the time every 10 seconds. And he heard it again September 26th at 07:01. Something's always wrong at Radio Havana, Cuba, but here's a new one on me, reported by Claudio Galas in Chile, Hardcore DX. He heard RHC on 3900 kilohertz, September 16th at 2335 until 2359 in Spanish. He wonders if it could be a subharmonic of 11700, since if you triple 3900, that's what you get, but he says that frequency was not active at the moment. Well, possibly 11,700 is generated by tripling 3,900 inside the transmitter, but it's not supposed to radiate until it gets up to the third multiple. Other things wrong at RHC, the 9640 transmitter, both morning and evening, is often surrounded by buzz spurs. They sometimes peak worst 10 kHz above and below on 9630 and 9650, such as September 23rd at 1328. Also September 24th at midnight 18, the field was much wider out to 9620 and 9660, plus and minus 30 kHz. Radio Havana Cuba FM on the 13 MHz band continues to appear sporadically some days, but not every day, out of the 13700 AM transmitter. Except on September 25th at 1320, when I was hearing the FM blobs at different positions than usual, it soon became clear they were radiating out of the transmitter on 13740, which normally has not had such a problem. Obviously, they must have swapped the transmitters and or transmitter sites on this occasion only. And they were particularly bad. I had them up to the seventh order, that is, seven frequencies, each side of 13740 at approximate 65 kHz intervals, as far out as 14195 and 13285. The next day, September 26th, it was back to normal. At 1404 UT, I found them again centered on 13700, but not so many of them this time. In fact, just four. WWVH Hawaii is again announcing a listener survey, referring us to a website, although I did not catch the details. This was during the 49th minute after 06 UT, September 26th, on 5000 kHz. I expect WWV is also making the same announcement at other minutes every hour. At DX India, Alokesh Gupta reminds us of an annual special broadcast of All India Radio, Mahalaya 2019. It's for Saturday, September 28th, but starting on the UT day, Friday the 27th, at 22:25, lasting approximately 2 hours until midnight 15 UT. The times vary depending on the station. It's a special 2-hour transmission consisting of Sanskrit and Bengali recitation and music, created by the late Sri Birendra Krishna Bhadra. All India Radio has been broadcasting this since the early 1930s. He says the sheer nostalgia is what makes the dawn of Mahalaya special one of the most looked forward to radio broadcasts. The countdown to the Indian festival of Durga Puja starts from the day of Mahalaya. The shortwave frequencies, which have been observed during past years for this, are, he lists only three, 4810 Bhopal, 4835 Gangtok, and 4910 Jaipur. Here is the 3325 situation as of September 22nd, reported by Ron Howard. NBC Bougainville was off the air. In fact, he had not heard it recently. And by 1044 UT, the Voice of Indonesia was on the air via Palangkaraya, monitored later at 1314 to 1318 during an English segment with Today in History. That date in 1980, the Iran-Iraq War started. He says, a rare day with audio level semi-readable from Voice of Indonesia instead of the usual carrier with no audio. I wonder if the following is a first for the DAB mode of broadcasting. Via Mike Terry, a report from Ireland in Radio Today, September 18th, says pirate radio stations are appearing on unlicensed DAB digital multiplexes in Dublin and Cork, and more are planned for other cities in Ireland. The free DAB platform, now carrying around 10 stations, was born out of frustration over procedures in place to broadcast legally on DAB in Ireland. In case you had trouble hearing Radio Nikkei Japan 6055 for a while, here's what happened. According to Takahito Akabayashi in Japan via Wolfgang Büschel, Radio Nikkei announced that their first program returned to normal operation of 50 kilowatts on September 18th due to damage at the Nagara transmitter site in Chiba Prefecture by Typhoon No. 15. The first program on 6055 had been transmitted with reduced power between September 10th and 18th. I'm happy to report that OG&E, our electric utility, has finally repaired The high line noise level, which had been blocking out much of my monitoring between 3 and 9 megahertz for several weeks, they say it was caused by a faulty lightning arrestor half a mile away, but the buzz was radiating over a wide area through the power lines. So once again, in the middle of the day, I can hear the nifty NAFTA trio on 49 meters, well, just barely audible carriers at least, obviously coming from 6185 Mexico City, 5950 WRMI, and 6070 Toronto. This was September 24th at 2009 UT. Ron Howard reports on monitoring Myanmar from Monterey, specifically Asilomar State Beach. He says on September 20th, 9730 in vernacular, mostly indigenous music, was heard from 1117 until suddenly off at 1127. Usually they run a few minutes longer. And then he heard 5985 with live sports coverage from a TV audio feed of a soccer match from 1129 UT. He says normally this frequency starts sometime between 1115 and 1130. I wonder if it's the same transmitter. Anyhow, there's yet another one on 5915. He heard the same date between 1135 and 1145 with easy-listening pop music. The line noise repair is also now possibilized by hearing a pirate as early as 2129 UT on 6900 USB with some wacky sounds and music, but no announcements before it cut off at 2149. And apparently no one else reported this to HF Underground, so I have no idea what it was. Via Alan Pennington in the British DX Club, a post on FB from Sven Martinsen about his low-power Norwegian stations, especially the Ferry, F-E-R-R-Y, Your Beautiful Music Connection. Now broadcasting on medium wave from Bergen, Kringkaster, northwest of the city on 1314 kilohertz every night from 19 until midnight 10 hours CET with 700 watts. That would be from 17 until 2210 UT. It's also 24/7 on Wi-Fi and other media. And he also says, don't forget our other station, Radio Northern Star, your radio heartland of music, broadcasting the best classic pop and rock from both sides of the Atlantic on 1611 kilohertz at 0320 until 2210 UT and at 13 to 2210 on 5895. It runs 24/7 on Wi-Fi and TuneIn and etc. Rusty X has this report from the Novosti Press Center in Chukotka about the shortwave and DRM test broadcasts. Throughout the territory of Chukotka, in digital mode, launched a shortwave digital broadcasting dated September 19th. It's a test mode to determine possibilities of HF broadcasting covering the territory of Chukotka Autonomous Region. A musical loop was broadcast to configure the equipment and determine signal reception. It was even heard in Japan, as someone reported. The government of Chukotka and specialists from the Far Eastern Regional Center of RTRS launched this ambitious project to cover almost 100% of the region's territory with shortwave digital broadcasting. In Chukotka, broadcasting on the territory outside settlements is especially important. Communications for miners, geologists, reindeer herders, and hunters working in the region, with a population density of 0.07 people per square kilometer. Test broadcasting is carried out on 12025 in analog and DRM format. By 2020, it is planned to provide 95.5% of the territory of Chukotka with shortwave broadcasting via internet, satellite, FM, AM, and shortwave, World of Radio 2001, a non-commercial program also bringing you the non-commercial website, worldofradio.com, and publication DX Listening Digest. Our thanks this week for financial support from John P. Lutz in Shorewood, Illinois, who sent a check to Glenn Hauser, P.O. Box 1684, ENID OK 73702. One may also contribute via PayPal, not necessarily in U.S. funds, to WORADIO at yahoo.com. Speaking of All India Radio Gangtok, Ron Howard reports hearing 4835 from Sikkim, September 24th at 1342 to 1417, a day with good audio above threshold level, not the often heard transmitter hum. There was some QRN, the announcers and subcontinent music and singing. He says best reception today, as is always the case around his local sunrise, 1356. Another station where something is often wrong, Radio Exterior de España in Spain. Their Middle East frequency, 12030, often has a better signal here than the one to North America, 9690, earlier in the day, because of propagational factors they should have known about, even though we're directly off the back from the beam toward the Mideast. However, on September 23rd and 24th, during the 20 UT hour, there was nothing but dead air on 12030, while 9690, although it may have been weaker, was modulating okay. Finally, by September 25th at 1820, they were remodulating on 12030, but it was during a silly ball game. As we come to Sweden, some very sad news. Henrik Clements has died. There have also been many tributes to him already in Shortwave Bulletin, the Arctic Radio Club, and elsewhere. Here's what Thomas Nielsen says. R.I.P. Henrik Clements, one of the most well-known and famous DXers of our time. He passed away in his hometown, Borås, in the morning of September 21st after a serious illness. He had lived many years in Colombia, where he met his wife. His knowledge of Spanish and Latin American cultures was amazing and irreplaceable. He was also a very skilled DXer, though not active during recent years. In 1989, he wrote a book titled Latin America by Radio, which is still a fantastic guidebook for identifying Latin American stations. For a very long time, he's been helping DXers around the world with identification of LA stations, as well as doing a lot of research. Often he discovered unlisted stations and could help DXers with verifications. His contributions to the DX community will always be remembered, and we all have lost a wonderful friend. Yes, very sad news. IGH fortunately did have a chance to meet Henrik Clements once as he was passing through the airport in Miami. From Mauno Ritla on the WRTH FB group via Rusty X, a temporary schedule for Radio Thailand on shortwave effective October 1st for English broadcasts. Comparing it to the previous schedule, I see there are three additional blocks, presumably in English for 15 minutes each, 1145 UT on 5875, which had been in Burmese, as recently reconfirmed by Ron Howard, also at 1300 to 1315 on 9390 in Japanese, and at 2000 to 2015 UT on 9920 scheduled in German. So apparently English replaces, at least temporarily, those three language blocks on Radio Thailand. But why? Ron Howard indicates this has happened before during the month of October. Something's always wrong at Voice of Turkey for sure, as Ivo Ivanov and I agree. It could be wrong language, wrong time, wrong frequency, or some combination of those. As for wrong frequencies, they're usually within 1 kilohertz of where they're supposed to be, but now they've been showing up on totally unexpected frequencies. The Voice of Turkey was first reported on 5808 and 5805 from 1915 or so, ending their English program. According to chat at HF Underground via Dan Robinson, where they first thought it must have been a pirate. That was September 22nd. And here's another instance from Ivo Ivanov, Turkish on the strange drifting frequency, September 23rd from 1300, from 9730 to 9728 or 9727. A later report for that date gives the range 9740 to 9717 between 1300 and 1555, and again from 1600 when they're supposed to be on 9460. That might be the answer to Richard Langley's query 3 days later on September 26th at 2030, when he found them missing from 9460 during their Turkish service. Maybe this relates to what I noted earlier from WWVH in Hawaii, now under the rest of the USA, from eham.net via Mike Terry. WWV and VH are broadcasting a U.S. Department of Defense message. until October 1st to mark the centennial of WWV and to announce the WW0 WWV special event. The website is WWV100.com. This is airing at 10 minutes past the hour from September 28th till October 2nd on WWV. They don't give the times for WWVH. And there is more from ARRL, September 18th via Mike Terry, a festival of frequency measurements set to honor WWV Centennial. HAMSCI, that is H-A-M capital S-C-I, and the Case Amateur Radio Club, W-8-E-D-U, sponsor a festival of frequency measurement. On October 1st, the entire UT day from midnight to 23:59, starting Monday evening, September 30th in the Americas. The event invites radio amateurs, shortwave listeners, and others capable of making high-quality frequency measurements on HF to participate and publish their data to the HAMSCI community on the Zenodo, Z-E-N-O-D-O, open data sharing site. This is also done during solar eclipses. Some of the questions they're hoping to answer include how WWV's 5 MHz propagation path varies over a given calendar day, how various measurement techniques for understanding the path variations compare. Objectives are to measure Doppler shifts caused by the effect of space weather on the ionosphere, and to use a specified measurement protocol available to HAMS and other citizen scientists. The experiment will use August 1st, 2019 as a control date. Well, this gets rather technical, but you can read the entire thing at the ARRL press release. There's been a lot of press about personnel changes at USAGM. Mike Cooper forwards this VOA News story by Brian Padden on September 19th headlined, Trump nominee pledges independence for U.S. government news outlets. His nominee to run the USAGM testified before the Senate Foreign Relations Committee, addressing concerns on whether he would seek to impose a political bias on government news agencies such as VOA, which is mandated to be objective and balanced. We're talking about Michael Pack, P-A-C-K. He has ties to Steve Bannon causing such concerns. This VOA story itself goes on to recount several of the scandals affecting it and other parts of USAGM. Another story from RealClearPolitics.com, September 19th, is headlined Trump's Choice for Broadcasting Chief on Senate Hot Seat. It's taken nearly 16 months and two senators' retirements for documentary filmmaker Michael Pack to hit the hot seat and answer senators' questions about his plans to lead the nation's taxpayer-funded global broadcasting operation. Another very long story, and thanks to David Cole for sending that one. More recently, dated September 25th, USAGM Board of Governors announces CEO for interim period. USAGM announced that effective October 1st, Grant Turner, currently their chief financial officer, will serve as chief executive officer and director of USAGM on an interim basis until the president appoints a Senate-confirmed CEO. And Hans-Jörg Biener sent us that one from USAGM Public Affairs. And former Miami Mayor Tomas Regalado resigns as head of Radio and TV Marti by Nora Gomez-Torres in the Miami Herald, dated September 20th. This follows several scandals that have shaken radio and TV Marti. The Office of Cuba Broadcasting has had three directors in 3 years. Andre Mendez and Malule Gonzalez left office amid internal disputes. The CEO of USAGM, John Lansing, leaves the agency at the end of September to lead NPR. He is also leaving amid another scandal regarding a senior official he appointed who was found guilty of filing fraudulent expenses. Thanks to Mike Cooper for that story, and Hans-Jörg Biener sends another one, the press release from the agency itself, which says Deputy Director Emilio Vasquez will serve as Acting Director, while Director of Technical Operations Francisco Chong will serve as Acting Deputy Director of OCB. As we've passed 2000, I see that WRMI has now canceled another World of Radio airing. Checking their schedule, something else is now shown for Saturdays at 21 UT on 9955. This means that there are no shortwave broadcasts in North America off World of Radio any time during the day on Saturdays. after the 0130 UT Saturday broadcast, Friday night local on 5850, 5010, and 7780. So try to catch us then, if not the very first shortwave broadcast, Friday at 22 on 9955. The 500 kilowatt WBCQ superstation has been doing some more testing the past week, not every day, but part of the time on 9330. Especially on September 23rd, it stayed on the air all night through September 24th. As Ivo Ivanov points out, 9330 has been deleted from the registrations, although it's still being heard there, and not on the three other frequencies where it plans to appear in Arabic only to Egypt, 12120, 15705, or 17735. Plenty strong but not blasting in here, and these tests appear to have been on the 60-degree beam, as Alan Weiner once confirmed, that is, aimed right at the Sinai Peninsula. And they're also well heard in Europe on the way. If you're hearing music, a lot of music, it may be a simulcast of WBCQ FM 94.7, known as Kix FM. I ran across what appears to be a fairly new program on WRMI. It's called The Lab, or The Weekly Lab. It was at midnight UT, September 24th, on 9395. A woman and man conversing about debunking conspiracy theories, including Flat Earth makes no sense, according to her. Right up on the WRMI program page says, The Lab is a weekly show dissecting and digging into a wide range of topics, from current events to ancient history, everything in between. Your hosts, Kate Holliday and Ryan Rivers. She and he were originally on the air in Kodiak, Alaska, and have been wanting to get back on radio via shortwave. The full schedule for The Lab I've extracted from the SCEDGRID is a semi-hour each. Sunday at midnight 30, 7730. Sunday 21, 9955. Tuesday midnight 9395 and 5950. And Wednesday at 03 on 9955. Also a lot of press lately about plans to revive medium wave and shortwave on Vanuatu. We've had several reports via Bruce McGimmon, Artie Bigley, and Richard Langley, and Mike Terry. For example, from Asia Radio Today, the first phase of its upgrade involves design, installation, and commissioning of new shortwave and medium wave service, and later strengthening FM, a 10-kilowatt MF Nautil transmitter from Canada, and a 10-kilowatt HF transmitter manufactured by Hanjin Electronics of South Korea will be installed and commissioned by the end of this year to provide national radio coverage to 82 islands spreading over 1,300 kilometers between the most northern and southern islands. The second phase, beginning early 2020, will reopen Radio Vanuatu's medium wave facilities at San Michel on the island of Santo to provide AM service to provinces in the top half of Vanuatu. Well, we can only hope they come up with some better shortwave frequencies than before to avoid interference, 3945 and 7260. The propagation outlook from Boulder, geomagnetic field ranging from quiet to G2 moderate storm levels, September 28th, ANK indices peaking at 38 and 6, and G1 storms the next day, the 29th, 28 and 5. Solar flux stuck at only 68, all the way through at least October 19th. And that's World of Radio 2001. Glenn Hauser inviting you to hear me again next week as I conclude with a standard disclaimer.